Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got the news, and we're continuing on with our draft, our Thanksgiving dinner draft with Damashek. Always amusing. So you got that coming. First, Simply Safe. Thinking about home security? No better time than now. This week, Simply Safe is offering my listeners a huge exclusive deal for Black Friday. 25% off any new system, plus a free HD security camera. Everything you need to keep your home safe. You're going to get all those presents coming to your house. You don't want the Grinch to steal those, do you? Entry sensors, motion sensors, video doorbells, smart lock that locks your door when you forget. Well, that's smart. Plus 24/7 professional monitoring that dispatch police 3.5 times faster. We all have it. Now it's time for you to get it. Don't put it off. Peel and stick, up and running in under an hour. Batteries last up to 10 years. No wire pulling, no drilling. Don't wait. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get 25% off. Plus free security camera. Don't miss the amazing Black Friday deal. Simplysafe.com/Adam.
The holidays are around the corner. It's time to drink too much, eat too much, and fight about Trump at the dinner table. Luckily, we've got just what you need to make the most of this most wonderful time of the year. Introducing the Carolla Christmas Stocking. The custom embroidered stocking is adorned with the hand-knit word, acehole, sewed on by talented elves and or children from the Orient. What's inside? Glad you asked. With your purchase of the Carolla Christmas Stocking, you'll get an ACS Nativity Scene t-shirt featuring Max Apata as Baby Jesus and Adam as Mother Mary, a custom Happy Birthday Jesus ornament, 4 Carolla Drinks wine glasses, plus 2 bottles of your choice, all for only $99. And for those who want to go big for the holiday season, you can also purchase the Stocking Scrapbook Combo for only $175. Get the stocking and the 10 years of ACS scrapbook, signed by the entire network for the ultimate Carolla fan in your life. So get to CarollaDrinks.com today and get ready. The holidays are coming.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Bill Cosby granted his first interview from behind bars over the weekend, and the disgraced comedian still insists he never sexually assaulted Andrea Constan and therefore will never express remorse. The 82-year-old Cosby tells Black Press USA he did nothing wrong and is sitting in a Pennsylvania prison because of a trial that was a setup, he says. He argues that whole jury thing, they were imposters. He believes the jurors decided he was guilty before even beginning the trial. There is
audio.
That is
a vast conspiracy.
Yeah. There is audio, but it is so hard to make out because of the walls and the, you know, just the bad acoustics. I didn't even bother. Mm-hmm. Cosby is serving up to 10 years behind bars and figures he'll serve the entire sentence because the parole board is not going to hear me say that I have that he will never hear me say that I have remorse.
Right. So we were talking about how we sort of put things through our prism, and we're like, I'd kill myself if that happened mm-hmm. to me. But these guys don't kill themselves because of their personality disorder. They're so grandiose, and that's the Epstein rub.
Right.
It's like, why did that guy didn't have the right kind of personality?
You think he killed himself?
To kill himself. Well, that's the thing. Like, right. I don't know, but I tend to factor that in, like crazy, distraught, girlfriend dumped him, 16-year-old white goth dude. That guy kills himself. Yeah. I go, that sounds about right.
That tracks.
Epstein doesn't feel like suicide material to me, but none of the grand, that Charles Manson never killed himself. Sure. Like these guys, OJ or whatever, they just never,
Bernie Madoff still breathes.
Those personalities don't. Yep. Bernie Madoff's son killed himself.
Yes, he did.
Imagine that. I mean, he did so much damage that his son killed himself, but yet the father still remains.
Yeah.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Cosby says he doesn't get any special treatment in prison, yet he also holds a weekly service that he preaches at, so something tells me he gets a little bit of special treatment.
Yeah. Is he I wonder if he's doing material. I mean, there's got to be fans in there. A lot of
course. That's why they're showing
right?
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think he's doing new material, like prison material or old
well,
school?
Well, I'm just saying.
That's a
like,
wealth of inspiration.
when you say to the black populace in the joint, like, hey, there's a comedian. He's going to be in here for 10 years. There's probably going to be some talking.
You've definitely heard of him.
Welcome, Jeff Dunham. They're all like, oh, come on. Yeah. No, I'm not going to that.
Yeah.
But the cause?
Oh, man.
Come
front
on.
Row.
Yeah, Max Pat, adjust the clock accordingly, please.
Prison celeb.
Yeah. That's right. Mm. Well, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg officially announced Sunday that he's running the race for the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. He says, I'm running for president to defeat Donald Trump and rebuild America. Back in March, the 77-year-old billionaire said he wasn't going to enter the race because the field was too crowded. But his advisor said...
Just wait.
His advisor said earlier this month that Bloomberg was increasingly concerned that the current field of candidates is not positioned to beat Trump. So he's the guy.
I like it. When folks, we're now at a point, now it is funny because I was on to all this woke shit a long time ago, and if Bald Brian remembers, so during the last debate, Pete Buttigieg was basically bragging that I'm the poorest guy on this stage, which now, he was making a point that I'm the poorest guy on the stage, which is now something you would actually use.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't need another billionaire running this economy. Mm. I don't know. Maybe he knows something about making money. Yeah. You know who's not made any money? My mom.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just go to an extreme there. Like, I don't know if we want. Now, I know they're doing that. Like, I'm not bought and paid for and all that kind of stuff. But I do feel like running a big city or running a big business helps you versus running South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's not brag that we have nothing or I've never earned a dollar.
If you're building from scratch a presidential candidate and they said, yes or no, would you want someone who is successful at business, wildly successful? You'd be like, absolutely.
Right. But now it's a demerit because you have money. We don't need another white billionaire in here. It's funny because a lot of this stuff's been going on longer than you think. Like I used to tell people 20 years ago when they started saying, you know, not rape victim, rape survivor, and it's not blind, it's seeing impaired and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, why is everyone trying to grab the hold of the language? Mm. Brian will remember when I used to do Loveline all the time, I'd go, I'm a millionaire. Literally a millionaire. Because back in like 1997, like my program director would be like, you're one of the listeners. Yeah. You're one of the listeners. Yep. You're one of them. You're one of them.
Don't talk about
And I'm like, I'm not from Orange County and I don't snowboard. I'm not 14. I'm fucking rich. Fuck it. And he'd be like, don't do it. Don't talk about it, though. Like, don't talk about flying first class. And I'd go, okay. And then that night I'd go, I'm a millionaire. Literally a millionaire. Literally a millionaire. Literally. And back when it used to mean having $1 million used to mean something. And I used to do it intentionally just to first go, fuck off. I'm not going to pretend like I'm poor. And then secondly, my thing was like, I'm not a 14-year-old from Orange County who's thinking about snowboarding and got my first back sit. I'm a guy who's been through the Groundlings, who's done a bunch of stand-up, who's well-trained, and has ideas that are better than yours that you need to hear.
You're listening to me.
Why should I be on the radio if I'm just you?
Right.
That's my whole thing. And this whole, I feel the same way. Like, if you're going to run something, run it, man. Don't be one of me. Don't be like, I'm just like you. I'm not. I'm better than you, everyone who's listening. Unless you have more money than me that you earned. No, I used to
do that to Rick Dees, too. I didn't want him talking about any of that.
I used to literally... Well, look.
Well, it's dogmatic on radio. Every single person is wealthy.
If you don't think you can bring it, like if you don't think you can back it up, if you don't think you're funny or uniquely qualified or entertaining, then by all means, shut up about flying first class. But my thing is like, I'll talk about flying first class all day long, but then I'll bring funny and I'll bring insight and I'll do better than people can do. And thus I'll have a job. This notion that it's based on that. Who have you ever enjoyed that's relatable is fucking boring and nothing, you know? I mean, the whole thing about relatable is like, I don't want to watch a guy, if I'm going to watch a doc, I want to see the guy do the free climbing.
Right.
Or the guy
walk extraordinary.
On the tight wire from the Twin Towers.
Right.
Or whatever. It's not relatable at all. It's extraordinary.
It's aspirational.
It's the opposite of relatable. Like, I could never do that. I'm never going to do
that.
I'm going to watch somebody surf an 80-foot wave or Tito Ortiz in the cage.
Yeah.
And everybody who watches the UFC, they don't go, that's relatable. They go, holy shit, like, I'd be scared to death, or I would never do that, or I couldn't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my thing. When I don't go to watch a comedian and go, I'm better than that guy. I could be up on stage. I go, that guy's great.
Yeah,
it's the whole thing. Why Ford v Ferrari and all the residual, you know, Shelby and all the stuff is so interesting. It's like, not because they're relatable, because they're doing extraordinary things. They're doing, you know, superhuman things.
Thank you for the plug.
That's the thing, like, about radio, when they say, like, just be honest, because you'll never have to remember all the lies. You won't have to keep track of them. And so when you're on the air for 4 hours a day and they're telling you to be someone you're not, you have to remember your story. I was told, I know for a fact I did not get a job because I would not change my name to something Hispanic, because I'm not Hispanic and I don't know anything about the culture, and it would be dishonest, and everyone in LA knows my dad, and it would be a very confusing story.
Just out of clarity, do they have a Hispanic name, or was it literally change your name to something Hispanic? Because I think that's where we're going.
It's Gina Rochelle something Hispanic.
Yeah, that's a little ham-handed.
Abrochado o multado.
That was going to be my last name, and it would have been so confusing.
I was on stage.
Hey, welcome to
Abrochado o multado.
In the mornings.
I was at the comedy store on Saturday night, and I was talking about, like, how this country's completely going off a fucking cliff. And I said, I was giving my example of when I was young and I'd stay home as a bad student, watch TV when I was 11. Mm-hmm. I had four channels to choose from. Every commercial was school of truck and school of toaster repair, school working in a doctor's world, which it wasn't like a nursing degree. It was some sort of receptionist or something. Learn to work in a doctor, learn to cut hair. You know, it was like learn to do something. And now everything is like, want to join a class action lawsuit? Did you use talcum powder? Did you
have
pubic mesh explode? And then there's a lot of like discriminated, fired, wrongful termination, discriminated at work. And I was saying, but I sort of mean it. I think 20 years from now, you turn on daytime TV and there's going to be a lawyer standing there, and he's going to go, is your boss asked you to do stuff?
And did you not want to do the stuff?
So he asked you to come in on Monday.
Ugh.
And then after you showed up, he wanted you to do stuff. Well, join this class action lawsuit. Like, there's going to be fat people sitting around going, I was unduly asked.
Hey, my boss asked me to do stuff.
He said to do stuff. Because I feel like my nephews will be down with that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is the new world order.
They get the pain.
This old guy asked me to do stuff, and I'm pissed.
And I want to settle this.
I want justice.
Yeah.
I want justice.
Oh, come on.
This is your second choice for a name?
It's John Leguizamo.
I don't know why it just made me laugh. Did your boss want you to do stuff?
Because it's going to happen.
Oh, we're right there. Yeah. We're almost there. All right, sorry. What else?
Well, Washington Redskins quarterback Dwayne Haskins thought Sunday's game against the Detroit Lions was over when he ran to the sidelines to take a selfie with a fan. I don't know if you guys saw this. The Redskins won 19-16.
I didn't see it. I got to tell you, I was watching with poor cousin Sal, watching the Patriots beat his hapless Cowboys. But there was a stupid... look, the Patriots don't need any help from the refs. They just don't. And when they were playing my Rams in the Super Bowl, and it was 3-3, and they Gurley broke off a 15-yard run, and they called holding on the center, like interior lineman locking it off. Come on. They called tripping on the guy's...
Yeah, very specious call.
Didn't lift his foot or just kind of lean...
As incidental as it gets.
Why do we need that? Why do the Patriots? It was like they threw it to Zeke. Zeke caught it, broke one off for a first down. It's like it's all coming back. Mm-hmm. Okay, game over for a non.
Right.
I don't know. I've never even seen that call. I've seen tripping.
Yeah.
Where a guy went down to the ground and leg whipped the other guy, Conrad Dobler.
I've
never seen tripping when the lineman had both feet under him and was locked up with somebody.
He shoved his hip out. I mean, his hip got shoved. It was incidental contact.
It's a call that would never, you just don't need to,
That's tripping?
You don't need to make it.
Absurd.
It's absurd. It ruined the game. Of course, the Patriots won. It's a non-call. I don't. Why would you do that?
It's a bizarre call, too.
It's bizarre. Yeah. It's confusing if you watch football. You'll never see that call again. You see tripping where a guy picks his foot up and, like, trips the guy. But that, anyway. Why do they need, that? Also, football thoughts with the new, the Browns. The Browns had a Steelers quarterback pinata they were bashing with a helmet in the parking lot.
That's fun.
And the owner showed up with the jersey of the guy, bashed him in the head wearing that.
Myles Garrett?
Yeah, Myles Garrett. But you know what's funny? Everyone is like, wait a minute. Now he says, Myles Garrett said Rachel from France.
You know Rachel Epithet.
Rachel Epithet. Rochelle. Was used against him. And everyone's like, ooh, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Now, is it? We're trying to get to the bottom of it. Like, hey, this is a new wrinkle. Like, what happened? Okay. And then everyone's debating. Like, did it? Didn't he? He still attacked him with a helmet. You're not allowed to do that. It doesn't matter what somebody says to you. No matter how egregious, if somebody says something horrible to you, whether it's a neighbor or someone else on the football field, you're not allowed to take a helmet and weaponize it and bonk them over the head with it. This is the part that's missing from this debate. Like, everyone's like, did he say it? He may have said it. If he said it, and it's
then
like,
what?
And everyone's kind of signed off on, like, of course he's allowed to physically assault him if he said it. No, you're not. You can say anything to anybody. It might make you a bad person, and you might get drummed out of the league or fined or whatever, but it doesn't mean you should be the recipient of the El Kabong from the guy's helmet. It's still we're losing this the discussion, and no one brings it up. Now we're like, he may have said it. And then it's as if he did say it. Well, then it's okay. Now, he shouldn't be suspended or anything. No, you're not allowed to assault people anyway.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
So this dude took a selfie. Game wasn't over yet.
And
it was pretty funny. But also, did you guys hear about, I think it's Brandon Brooks. Does that name ring a bell? He is the, he's on the Eagles. And he left, I don't have it in front of me, but he left the game in the middle because he was having an anxiety attack.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he talked about it. I think he tweeted about it. I'm sorry, I didn't prepare you guys.
I got to work for this
maybe
team.
Maybe I don't know. But he said, I thought of you. Mm-hmm. Because he said, you know, I start my morning ritual every day vomiting, and then it usually goes away. I imagine it's game day he's talking about.
Yeah.
And
but, every day.
And it didn't go away, and it leads to exhaustion and fear and all this stuff, and I'm not embarrassed. I have this anxiety disorder. Usually I can control it. Today I couldn't control it. And he tweeted all about it. Sorry, Kaylin, to put you on the spot. But
he had an anxiety attack.
Yeah. And he struggles
what
with it.
What was his position?
He's a defensive player, right?
Brandon Brooks. I don't know, for Eagles.
Try to figure it out.
But people are becoming a little less, these days, you know, like a big, strong athlete's not supposed to have any problems. And it's nice to see people go, look, I'm trying to deal with this.
He's a guard, so says Max Zapata. Yeah, there's been a few of these guys. Coincidentally, I think Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver, famously sort of came out and said, I have some issues emotionally.
They linked to a few other people who did. He said, make no mistake, I'm not ashamed or embarrassed by this or what I go through daily. I've had this under control for a couple of years and, you know, had a setback. The only thing I'm upset about is that when my team needed me, I wasn't able to be there with them. Lastly, I appreciate the support of my coaches, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't go unnoticed.
You know... I'm now thinking about everyone is so progressive and there's so much everything going on and all this stuff. I think the ACLU tweeted out that men can have periods and give birth and stuff like that. I think I owe Deacon Jones an apology. I really do, because I was kind of on his case for saying go upside a man or a woman's head when they're talking about
it. It came up once or twice before on this podcast.
But now I realize, what if that weak side tackle identifies as a woman?
Yeah, you didn't think about that, did you?
I did not do that. And maybe the great Deacon Jones was way ahead of the curve in all of this. And there are going to be folks in the NFL who will be the first female
identified
in the NFL because they will identify as a female. And once you identify, you then are, according to the New World Order. So maybe Deacon was just...
He was a decade ahead of his time.
We thought he was behind the times. turns out he was ahead of the times. He was on the vanguard. Yeah. I'm going to lay some flowers down at his headstone.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do.
Careful apology.
Oh, the ACLU did have something to say about International Men's Day. There's no one way to be a man. Men who get their periods are men. Men who get pregnant and give birth are men. Trans and non-binary men belong.
Do we ever, we need a national, International Men's Day?
Yeah, we do, up top.
Right. Isn't every day International Men's Day?
Goddamn right.
Thank you, ACLU. We appreciate the important work you're doing these days. All right, let me hit Zorro, Zorro.com, Zorro.com. Find everything for your business, any size, any shape. Doesn't matter, big or small business, or just you want to do some shopping for stuff you need running your house. You go with Zorro, tools and equipment, safety stuff, office and cleaning supplies, and more. Tons of stuff for electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, and more. Brands you know and trust, like Stanley and 3M and Milwaukee. Rubbermaid, just to name a few. Amazing customer service from real people based in the U.S. Fast, free shipping on orders of $50 or more. So load up and save some dough. Visit Zorro.com/M. Sign up for the Zmail and get 15% off your first order. That's Zorro.com/Adam. Save a bunch of money and get all the stuff you want at Zorro. All right, what else we got, Gina Graham?
Well, according to a survey conducted by British car magazine Auto Express, the Citroën DS is the coolest car in the world. Are you familiar?
Citroën, I think.
Oh,
or Citroën.
I would have said it like that, but I looked it up. And
Citroën.
Jay Leno, which I have a clip of, pronounces it Citroën, I believe.
Yeah, people do that with like Renault and stuff. There's a few of those kind of Frenchy ones.
Yeah, I was definitely not sure about this one.
Listen, they make a big deal because this thing has air suspension, and when you get into it, it'll rise up or lower down.
Unique pneumatic suspension system.
Yes.
Everybody loves it, apparently.
Is that a very old car?
It's a 60s. It's like a 60s era car. What year?
They said 55 to 75. So, yeah.
Oh, all right. It's kind of 60s era car that is known for its sort of weird design. And it's also, it's like one of those, I don't know, it's the Ishtar of cars. We all made fun of it for the first 20 years. And now we're all going, you know, it's really actually a pretty funny movie.
Looking back.
So we overdid it in one way. And now we're all circling back to apologize to Ishtar.
So this is the Edsel?
Yeah, this car was like goofy and funny and funky, and now everyone gets a kick out of it. You know, it's your smoothest handling car or whatever. It's still funky and weird and all that.
Well, here is Jay featuring it on Jay Leno's Garage just to see what some of the cool features are.
Today we're going to talk about my 1971 Citroën DS.
Suspension.
This car premiered back in, I believe, October of 1955, and it remains to this day the most innovative car ever designed, the most unusual car ever designed, a car with more different features than any other car. You know, some cars would have one little feature, but everything else would be pretty standard.
It's got an ugly steering wheel, too.
This is totally new,
an ugly steering
totally
wheel.
Original thinking, and just totally French.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
It's not a compliment.
Totally
you're
French.
So French.
No, if you're talking about pastries, I'm in. If you're talking about cars, I'm out. I am.
It's quirky.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm going to be doing a race with him coming up on an upcoming episode, which I just was talking about.
Is that the one you did when the Night of Brian's thing?
Yeah, it was a crazy race. I mean, Jay was. It was dangerous. I will say this. And I'll also say, Max Pat, if you got John Morton rolling over, I had an eerie conversation with John Morton, who's a race car driver. He drives, you can save it until I cue it, but he drives, he drove for BRE for Pete Brock. You can see Pete Brock all over the docks. And in the Shelby dock, he'll show you that Pete Brock, who basically built the Daytona and won the championship for Shelby and everything, he came home from Europe. Someone else was sitting in his office. Like, that's just the way stuff used to work back then. Like, you're out. He then did a deal to race Toyotas. He was going to, like, lead the Toyota race team. They were done with Shelby, too. Ford was done with Shelby. Like, we're done with Le Mans. We're done with you. See ya. Thanks for the good times. And he didn't have a job. He then screwed Pete Brock out of the Toyota deal. And because it's like, hey, I'm Carroll Shelby. I'm freed up. Like, it was sort of like, hey, you're at the Comedy Store and you're a, you know, mid-level comedian, and Bill Burr just walked in. It's like he's going in front of you. Mm-hmm. Like that's how it works. And so this guy just walked in and went, hey, Pete Brock, over there. I'm taking over. He took over Toyota race team. Pete Brock broke off, got hold of Datsun, did Datsun, kicked his ass all over the place. And it was a funny thing because he would say he was pissed at Shelby. John Morton drove for Datsun, for BRE, and Datsun was unbeatable. He would say that Shelby would try to sneak off to go to other tracks and pick up points, race points, when he wasn't there. But he had insiders inside of Shelby who liked him. And he'd go, we're picking up and we're going to wherever. And he'd go, fine. And he'd mobilize everyone.
Double
and they'd
agent.
Go to that track and race and beat him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's good. And John Morton is an old-time guy, and he drives, and he's driven in all these things, and he's all over this. Doc, as well, as a young man, he worked for Shelby and then ended up running. Now he's a friend of mine. We were driving Z cars. He's kind of a Z car specialist, and me and Jay were driving Z cars, and John was saying to me, I said, hey, John, we're just talking. We always talk. I said, what's your next event? You know, he said, we're going to do Daytona, vintage Daytona. I'm driving the BRE Z car. And I said, okay. And then he kind of sighed, and he went, that car's really valuable, and I don't know why we're going to Daytona. And then I was like, yeah, well, that's what you do, John. And then 2 weeks later, someone's like, hey, did you hear John rolled the Z car in Daytona?
Oh.
And we're looking at a picture of him top of another car in a vintage race and then rolling a car. And I found it very eerie because he was like telling me he didn't want to go. Like he was kind of going, I don't think it's a good idea.
Bad vibe.
Like,
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. So he ended up rolling. He's okay. So I heard, but the expensive car that he was kind of worried about got rolled.
Not so okay.
So it can't happen to the best.
That's over.
You would either attempt to fix it, depending on what's going on, or you would pull every part off it and put it on a new tub. So to speak.
Pull out anything still usable.
Yes.
Well, in case you're wondering, the second on the list of coolest car was the Jaguar E-Type, which is considered by many to be one of the most beautiful car designs ever.
Crazy car.
So famously, I think Ferrari said it was like the most beautiful car ever, which was the big thing back then.
It is purdy.
Yeah.
And
it came in second to that goddamn French car?
It did. And the third, I've never heard of this, and I'm probably saying it wrong, the Italian Lancia Stratos.
Lancia. Yeah, I know. They mess around with that one, too. That's a rally car.
It's bizarre looking. The 70s mid-engine rear-wheel drive rally racer having become a poster car in its iconic Alitalia-sponsored paint job.
Yeah, those cars are really popular. They're really tiny, and
they're weird.
Guys over 6 foot not need apply.
Have you ever been in one? I mean, not that you could because you're over 6 foot.
You tried.
They are doing kind of a reimagination. Some of these, they're like repopping them and doing a new version of them that's a little bigger, I think, for, you know, $200,000 or something like that. So it's cool. But again, these lists, it's like the Rolling Stone list that have Bob Dylan as a better voice than Aretha Franklin or something, or whoever it is. It's like, come on, you're just pissing us off with this weird French car at the front. We don't need that. It's so French. All right, let me just hit Tommy John here. Tommy John, getting excited this year. Let's get some. I'm telling you, I'm at an age where give me some Tommy John for Christmas, man. 25% off site-wide. Shop their biggest sale right now. Experience the amazing fit and feel of their Tommy John. I got to tell you, man, I was on that rowing machine with my Tommy John. I've had a little accident or a little little bloodletting or something. I had something, you know, it's a little moisture down there.
Okay.
But, like the hero I am, I soldiered on.
Oh, good for you.
Then I jumped in the swimming pool in my Tommy John.
You rinse off first?
I did what I could. I did what had to be done. And then I went in a pool.
Yeah.
And then I went and took a few laps. And then I hung them out.
Yeah.
Put them on this morning when I went out there.
Wow.
That's right.
Hero.
Dry as a bone. Ladies love the Tommy John. They do the invisible panty lines over there for them. They have the bras as well. It's just, it's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It's a game changer. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Give the gift of comfort this holiday season with limited edition gifts like loungewear and underwear from Tommy John. Plus, save 25% off site-wide when you go to TommyJohn.com and use code Adam. That's code Adam at TommyJohn.com.
All right. See the stupid steering wheel in the Citroën?
Looks like there's something wrong with it. Like it's missing a bunch of pieces.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. It's just got to one. It's literally one bar and a wheel.
Huh.
How do you honk?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's you know.
You just yell in French.
In Paris. Yes. Yeah.
Daniel Craig has confirmed that No Time to Die will be his last turn as James Bond. The 51-year-old actor told USA Today he's had a really good run, but he's done after this. No Time to Die, which hits theaters in April, will be his fifth movie in the franchise. Lashana Lynch is rumored to play a female 007, but whether she will replace Bond or if the iconic spy will be recast remains to be seen if they're actually calling her, you know, the next James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Craig is the longest running Bond.
In terms of years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's spread over the most time.
Yeah, it's one of those weird getting older moments where you're like, oh, I wouldn't have, you know, it would be between Sean Connery and Roger Moore or something like that. Or whoever.
Right.
Yeah. In a short period of time. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? So he had.
He used to crank him out every year.
Yeah. This will be his fifth.
Boy, as a kid who only had trucking commercials to look forward to, when a Bond movie came out, that was appointment viewing. That was a big deal.
The commercial was appointment viewing.
I love that commercial. Yeah. No, I mean, I remember going, if there's a Bond movie coming out, we are there.
I'm hoping for good things out of this new movie, but pretty much every James Bond actor has held on a little too long, and the last movie or two were not good. You know what I mean? Like,
how was his last one?
They all... Terrible. Spectre was not good. They all ended up on a downward trajectory. You know what I mean? Like, aside from maybe Timothy Dalton, whose movies were just kind of average overall, two movies.
I was watching the first one, I think, and there's a lot of testicular trauma in there.
Oh, wow.
Casino Royale.
And I was like,
that's a great movie.
Do we have to do this? Can he just bed the ladies and beat up a few guys with eye patches? Yeah. How real do we have to
that
make this
That was a real
guy?
Reimagining of James Bond.
It's scrotum-based.
A lot of scrotum.
Mads Mikkelsen. We could probably find the clip.
There's testicular trauma.
Mads Mikkelsen needs information from James Bond, right?
Yeah, sure.
Lashif. He needs information from James Bond. So he puts him in a wicker chair, naked, cuts out the bottom, and uses a needlessly elaborate, there's many ways to injure a man's testicles, needlessly elaborate, like whip, not a whip, but like with a ball, like a ball, like a mace almost.
It's,
oh my God, you can just poke at it.
It's like a dog, one of those hefty dog chew toys,
this
with a ball and a rope on it.
Yeah, but this is just so we could see all that work he put in.
With his shirt off, and he's just whacking him in the nutsack with this. I'm like, hey, man. Remember the part where the guy was on the table and there was like a laser beam and a shark and a buzzsaw and they're all coming at him? How about a little more of that?
No, Mr. Bond, no expectations to die.
This is very BDSM.
Yeah. I was like,
CEOs pay top dollar for what he's getting.
I was like, good day.
Needlessly elaborate.
Good day, Mr. Bond. I'm done.
Wow.
I want a lair. I want a shark. I want an alligator. I want a laser beam. I don't want some homo whacking him in the nutsack. I'm sorry. We're done.
I do love that movie.
Sorry.
And speaking of car flips, that's an amazing car flip.
It does.
The car flip like 16 times.
Rolled an Aston Martin Vanquish. DB9S or something like that. What do I know? All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
That was the news.
What a gift.
I know. I really tried to weigh out my choices.
We made it through 13 Bond movies with no nutsack drama, and then this now we got to usher in this new. Yeah, we have to usher this new era in. All right, last but not least, Castrol Edge, man. Get yourself some Castrol Edge with fluid titanium. Transforms under pressure 3 times stronger, fool. And leading full synthetics. It's Castrol Edge. Reno, Virginia Street Brew House, December 7th. Me doing stand-up there, so come on out. Oxnard Levity Live, 13th and 14th, doing stand-up there as well. 2 shows each night. And I'll be all over. I'll be in Milwaukee. I'll be in Chicago. Go to amcroll.com for all that. And check out Crank Anchors on Wednesday night, and go to nosafespace.com. The movie's opening in a theater near you. Last with Bald Brian, of course. You can get the whole audio download at adamcarolla.com for under $5. And, of course, Shelby American. Go to Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y. Get all those things, would you please? And until next time, Santa Carolla for Tito Ortiz and Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Say mahalo.
Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming up next.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to some hot sports talk and actually some Thanksgiving holiday talk as well. Here on Good Sports, Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Get right for the games on Thursday and for all the week of pro football action. Listen to the Dave Damashek football program wherever you find your favorite games. How are you, Ace? Happy holidays.
Yeah.
What do you think of the trio of games before we jump in? We said it yesterday we would do our Thanksgiving food draft like we did a year ago, and it was great fun. I don't want to hold that up, but not the greatest slate in the history of Thanksgiving. The first game, Bears at Detroit. Very good.
Detroit always plays on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, they and the Cowboys. And right. In a world of traditions, why the Lions and Cowboys just forever get to keep those games is a little annoying to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Although Thanksgiving is all about tradition, so maybe it's because
I guess
that.
So. Well, it's also the deal was nobody wanted those games back in the day, and the Cowboys said, all right, we'll take it, but we never are giving it up. That's legitimately true. As they said, we'll do that. We'll bite the bullet here, but this is going to blow up. And now we always had, and you can never take it away. That's the answer. Buffalo is at the Cowboys. I say make that your main event. Eat around that. Don't cover up that game because that's your best one. And then your nightcap, Saints at Falcons. Not very good. Although the Falcons did depose those Saints a couple weeks back. So who knows? All right. Enough with the sports here, Ace. Let's talk about the greatest game of all, the game of life. And one of the great elements is what you put in your belly. That's how you know if you're winning. That's how you know you're just surviving or you're actually living. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Ace? Should Gary go first in the draft?
Okay.
What do you think? He's going to need the most help here. I don't think he really knows what he's doing here. All right, Gary, you get the first pick in the 2019 Good Sports Thanksgiving Food Draft. Go.
Well, thank you. I've got to go stuffing.
Stuffing number one.
For me.
You know, I'm not going to argue you too hard on that.
It's hard to argue.
Donovan slash Laxamana, get over there. Maxipata, why don't you fill in for Kalen and make this a four-team race? Ace, you go next there. Stuffing, a bold choice. You know, I always say, why do we – delicious stuffing. Who decided that this is the place where we should be conservative? Let's only eat it once a year. It's delicious. I want it on menus and every restaurant year-round, and we're getting there thanks to my powerhouse statement. I am a trailblazer. Ace, you're up.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do accoutrements.
You can do whatever you want, Ace.
But I'm saying I like – the brisket with the horseradish. Am I allowed to combine two things?
You understand what the holiday is we're talking about. We're not just talking about what you like to eat. This isn't a ranking of your favorite foods in the world. I'm talking about brisket with horseradish.
I feel I like a holiday where you have the turkey and the beef and the brisket.
All right, that's in the Carolla house. This is not Thanksgiving dinner.
They're more, you know. Look, let me tell you.
With horseradish. What are you doing?
Do you know why Trump is the president right now?
I don't know. No,
because they polled a lot of people and they said, "Who do you want? Uh-huh. Who are you going to vote for? Hillary or Trump?" And they all went, "Oh, Hillary! Come on, Trump's a clown." Mm-hmm. And then they secretly went to their polling place and they ate brisket.
I mean, I guess
see what happened. Do you see what happened?
So you're calling Hillary a jive turkey? Is that right? Is that
I'm
what you're getting?
They don't admit to brisket. They talk turkey. Uh-huh. They talk ham. but they quietly sneak in the brisket, and everyone goes.
Maybe
for
you've
brisket.
Just maybe you've just stumbled into the origin of talk turkey. Let's talk turkey.
That's right. I want to talk.
You're not
turkey.
When you're talking turkey, no. You ain't talking turkey. You're talking about beef.
Right. And what happens when you disagree with someone? You have a beef with them.
Wow.
So you see what's happening?
Don't be such a chicken. All right. I don't know. That's very weird. I don't know what to make of this. Now you're throwing your voodoo at me. You're trying to confuse the issue.
Maybe.
You're like Jim Jordan throwing me off with your little reports that you're throwing into the mix. What are we even talking about here? All right, fine. I'm going to allow brisket. I mean, for real though. Gary, please weigh in here.
Yeah, if you were to Google Thanksgiving foods, I don't think brisket would come up.
A brisket? You just have completely mucked up the works here. You just threw gum into the machinery now. How can we operate?
And with horseradish, like just brisket and horseradish.
Throw it in.
I'd like a pastrami with some dark mustard, if you please. That would taste good to me. What do I care if it's a Thursday?
Right. You want me to change? I'll go.
I think it's an outrageous bit of gamesmanship.
I'm
that you're
going
doing
pumpkin
here.
Pie then.
Okay.
All right.
Now.
Strong.
I am going to go with, I can't believe this is the third pick here. I can't imagine the how tremendous a gift this is. It's kind of like, I'm trying to think of NFL drafts where the best guy left was pick number three. I'm going to take turkey, obviously, and make it deep fried, if you please.
Deep fried
bird.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm taking. Donovan.
Well, enjoy that turkey and all your other dishes without gravy, because that's mine.
All right, good. Get a straw. Enjoy your gravy, weirdo.
Oh, you'll see. It'll make everything else much more edible.
All right,
we'll see. But you don't have any food yet, Gary.
If we're going potatoes, is twice bacon option, or are we going mashed only? Either way, I'm taking a potato.
I mean, again, see, now look at the can of worms that Ace has opened up here. He doesn't open up canned cranberry, but he's willing to open up the worms.
Well, mashed, I guess, is the most traditional.
Well, I mean, who has twice baked potatoes? And by the way, now you've opened up another thing, which is my beef with twice baked potatoes. How precious, how fancy do you need to feel that your potato being baked once ain't good enough? No. That once, I know it's edible, but that's for the unwashed masses. I'll have mine baked again, please. Thank you, Your Highness.
I want a triple baked potato. That's my thing. Like, if baking it twice is good,
okay,
then triple baked is better, right?
I mean, I guess that stands to reason. Although, I find among the bean-based soups that a five bean hits the spot, and, you know, 5 or 7 grain bread also does it, but 12 grain bread, cloying. It's trying a little too hard with the sunflower seeds. That has no business being on my bread. Come on.
I'm a 7-layer dip guy, but you go to 9 and you've gone too far.
That's right. Right. You're pushing the envelope.
All right.
But then again, you like Samoa cookies, which are the most cloying cookie of all. But anyway, that's a discussion that we'll get to in the spring when the Girl Scouts do their thing. We're talking about Thanksgiving draft, and Gary now has so you took mashed potatoes?
I did.
You know who's really doing badly here is Donovan.
I got last pick. We're not going snake style?
No, I decided against that. I could have given you snake style out of justice, but I didn't care for you taking gravy maliciously. And that's exactly why you
were doing it. Well, he's got to work a trade with Gary. I mean, he's got the gravy. He's got the mashed potatoes. Like, you got to work a trade.
All right, Ace, go ahead. Now you got a dessert, but you ain't got no main course.
I'm going ham.
What the hell is going on? A ham now.
I need some protein, and you got the turkey. My brisket almost got me laughed out of my
I'm
own
about
building.
To assign you a green Jell-O with marshmallows stuck into it out of spite. I don't understand why people do that. Why? Who decided that marshmallows had any business in the green Jell-O?
Me and Max Zapata, when we were in Utah, we took a deep dive into the ambrosia salad. We investigated ambrosia salad.
And conclusions?
Marshmallows.
Are good?
Well, it's a salad that basically plays like a dessert. It's like marshmallow fluff and marshmallows and mayonnaise. It hasn't been brought up in a long time. the mandarin orange slices. Remember those canned little mini little mandarin orange slices? Those are in there.
They're gross, and those no produce has been more damaged its reputation by the canned version than green beans. Green beans in a restaurant, delish, but you get them green, it puts a stink on them that plagues you for you. There are people out there who don't know how good a green bean is because they grew up and they cracked open one of them cans and the stink that comes out of it alone
is enough. It's like fishing a hooker out of the river.
One time, Kimmel, during a JKL rehearsal, said, you know what would be great would be – no, I said, you know what would be great would be to make – oh, no, he brought it up. He said, you know what my next invention is whipped cream that is marshmallow flavored. Mm-hmm. And I said, marshmallow doesn't have that distinct a flavor. Wouldn't white chocolate? I don't like white chocolate, but because I'm an empath, I know other people like it. Mm-hmm. I said, wouldn't that sell well? Wouldn't people be into white chocolate? And he said, no, that's a terrible idea in front of 50 or 60 coworkers. No. That's a terrible idea.
What about when he humiliated me with my yogurt fruit in the middle in front of everybody? Those people look up to me.
That was perhaps his darkest episode. except for the time that he attempted to defend what turned out to be poisoned clam chowder. No, Adam, you don't understand. That's smoked clams. But him getting into me about how white chocolate, that's a terrible idea, but his marshmallow whipped cream was a perfect idea. I still ain't back from that.
Well, isn't marshmallow fluff already? Isn't kinda, fluff marshmallow
kinda
whipped cream?
What's the change? Exactly. How different is it than actually using marshmallow to put on top of your ice cream instead of marshmallow flavored whipped cream?
All right, we need to continue the draft.
All right, we've gotten off track here, but let me tell you about Geico before the climactic end of our Thanksgiving draft on tomorrow's Good Sports. Everybody's got a to-do list. Like complete the Thanksgiving draft, as grown people are wont to do. You can also add to your list drop off dry cleaning, picking up milk, and now the most important addition, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 short minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. You want some extra money in your wallet? Sure you do, because that's the most rewarding to do. You'll do. Today. It's Geico.com. More of the Thanksgiving food draft coming at you tomorrow. Until then, for Adam Carolla and the fellows behind the glass, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get tickets and info on everything at adamcarolla.com.